Indeed, in this hour, we'll have open lines for you. Friday night into Saturday morning, open lines. Special thanks to Giorgio Tsoukalos for sticking around an extra hour for us. He has done a remarkable job with the Ancient Alien program, hasn't he? And the entire production company at Prometheus Entertainment. And it's just a superb job. It's been fun to be a part of that. And part three on the way. Okay, we'll be back in a moment. We'll have open line calls. All the lines are open. We'll be back in a second. Hey, we're working on getting Dr. Morgus on the program again. Some time ago, he had a stent put in one of his aortic arteries, and so he had been on the mend there and then battled a few more issues. He's up there in age, but he keeps going. Good old Dr. Morgus. So we're working on getting him on for you again. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you. This hour is going to go by very fast. Iowa City we go. First-time caller, Austin, is with us. Hi, Austin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good day.
Hey, I just want to say this is a huge honor just to be talking to you, sir.
Well, likewise.
Really. But I had a comment about your last speaker.
Mm-hmm, Giorgio.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what he was saying. But I had a question about his theory about how the Old Testament, how they would describe, the fallen angels and I was wondering why he was so convinced that it had to be
E.T. type
interpretation.
He's been a believer in this, I think, all his life. And I've got to tell you, I've looked at it too. I mean, to me, if you're an earthling looking into the heavens and you see these things happen, you could interpret it that way too. You call them gods because you have no other basis in order to judge them.
Definitely.
I would guess your question is, why can't you simply believe that it's truly biblical, that it's truly from God?
Or not even that. Why does one have to rule out the other? Why couldn't they happen in conjunction? What if their fallen angels are totally separate than extraterrestrials that visited, in ancient history?
Or what if fallen angels were ETs sent down by God?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole, it's pretty much a point of perception. I mean, whatever a name is associated with a figure, whether it's aliens or angels or, gods, it's pretty much from whatever background you're coming from.
True. Are you pretty convinced that we've been visited, though, by ETs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm very convinced.
Yeah, me too.
But I think people in the past are a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Way smarter. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll go to Rafael in Miami, Florida on the wild card line. Hello, Rafael.
How you doing, George?
Good,
I'm just going to be brief. My idea is the 2012 is not going to be the end of the world.
It's good.
When the planet aligns, the light is going to bring us to the new messiahs. It's going to be Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, or however they want to call it. But I believe it's going to be, it's there in the Bible. And history is going to repeat again.
It's going to be a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Raphael. Appreciate that. I am still taking the posture that we will have some kind of solar event, something from the sun over the next year or two, and we'll see what happens. But a lot of people are beginning to say the years are off. John Major Jenkins thinks not. He's pretty well tied into 2012. John Hogue thinks it's 13 years off. Others think it's 30 years off. We'll find out. I just think that the sun has been acting pretty darn weird as we get close to this date, and I find that pretty ironic. Let's go to Fort Myers, Florida. Craig's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Craig, welcome.
Good morning, George. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You too. How's the weather out your way, by the way?
It's not bad, actually. It's a little chilly. It's like in the 60s right now, but it's compared to everybody else, it's beautiful. It's paradise.
That's good. Super.
Hey, this is for Giorgio, for something a little bit of his knowledge. There's a new technology out called gravitomagnetic propulsion systems that completely bypasses combustion propulsion, and they are actually flying these things right now. It's a lot of the flying triangles that people have been seeing flying around in the sky trying to figure out what they are.
And they work on, spinning magnets?
It's actually vaporized mercury, counter-rotating vaporized mercury within miniature particle accelerators. This was discovered back in the 30s with Edison and Faraday. They spun a brass disc, and the ions, the brass disc was spun at 5,000 RPMs, and the ions bled into each other and created an ion field. they realized that they could do this with liquid mercury, since they can vaporize mercury and get it moving to almost light speed inside this particle accelerator. They have counter-rotating variations of this that creates the same type of gravitomagnetic field that this brass disc formed. This gravitomagnetic field encompasses the craft, which means you need nothing to do with aeronautics whatsoever. There's nothing to raise or lift or lower other than the gravitomagnetic bubble that encases the craft.
Wow.
And that bubble is it's modulatable. This is all over YouTube. It's all over the internet. I'm actually surprised at how much Giorgio doesn't know. You brought up Project Bluebeam. How about the chemtrails they're spraying worldwide? That could very possibly be for Project Bluebeam. There's quite a few things out there. But as far as the flying triangles go, those could be quite possibly reverse engineered or not, but it's a part of Obama's new and exciting technology to get us to Mars, which, by the way, we're already there.
I would love to see this. And you know what? We may be there. Hoagland thinks we've been there.
Yeah, these things are called TR-3Bs.
And does it work on anti-gravity? Is that what happens?
No, what it does is a scientist took two magnets and bolted them together, you know, opposing forces, and forced these two magnets together. He took two more magnets and stuck them together naturally. The ones that he had to force together, when he dropped to the ground, he completely negated Newton's law of gravity, in that the magnets that were bolted together got to the ground after the ones that were just connected together through natural magnetism.
Huh.
This same theory is being used in these craft, and it's being used in conjunction with the ions in the air, the electromagnetic field surrounding the Earth, and its own it's kind of like a static field that grabs a hold of you when you pull a blanket out of a dryer.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that encompasses this craft, and it's a modulatable bubble. And the unique thing about this is, since it's electromagnetic, every single molecule within that bubble is propelled and pushed at the same time, which negates inertia. So inertial dampening is a byproduct of gravitomagnetism. It's on YouTube. It's on Google. Yeah. Check it out.
Is this close to John Searle's inventions? Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no,
that's one you should look into. John Searle. He's got a propulsion system based on magnetics as well. Similar, but I don't think it uses mercury.
No, this is gravitomagnetic propulsion. They're actually using vaporized mercury. They compress it to 250,000 atmospheres, and they've got one spinning in one direction and one spinning the other, and they create a gravitomagnetic field around these craft. These things are the size of like 3-4 football fields. You'll see a triangular-shaped constellation in the sky just kind of pick up and leave. You can't believe how big it is, but that's what they are using. This is our new and exciting technology. NASA is a dog and pony show. The Air Force is the real space guys. Okay, this rocket they just launched out of Vandenberg in California the other day. Did you see how slow that thing was going?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a joke. All the money that we're funneling into the space program is actually being utilized for these gravitomagnetic craft that are actually flying around now. Just
all right,
the sky.
That's worth a great story. We'll check on that. Let's go to Mike in Livermore. On the wild card. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, George. Good morning. Hey, that thing, the little thing about the bubble, sounds like the movie The Navigator.
I didn't see that, but you might be right.
Oh, the little kid, the spaceship comes down, and he crawls into it, whatever, and he goes all over the place.
So,
had a little bubble around it, and everything all worked off that. Kind of funny. Hey, what I'm calling about, a couple of things, UFOX, Fest 4 at the Bal Theater, and then I had another thing of a personal nature that I want to talk to you about if we got time. As you know, Dan, the man Dillman,
Mr. Dillman,
is doing it again in February, 26th and 27th, has UFOX Fest 4 going on. And for those interested, that they can find out information at www.ufoxfest.com, and I'll be working that night for him.
Oh, are you? That's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be his man Friday.
Excellent. Hey, were you happy with your Raiders this year?
Actually, I was. I liked the improvement that was going on. I was shocked over the firing of the coach, but after watching the press conference, I understood a lot more. But yeah, I'm down for it. In fact, you mentioned the Raiders. Did Dan show you the photograph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to spread that all over the internet.
I'm sure you will.
Because, George, we all know you're a Closet Raider fan.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we had fun that night, didn't we?
You know, the good people up that way. Let me tell you. Oh, and he did a great job at his theater, and I hope he's doing well there.
Oh, he is. Things are so much going on. He's got a R&B live concert going on next month that he wants me to work security for him, which is great for me. I'm still not working, so I just got done with my first day of training at the local SPCA today, so I'm thrilled about that.
Well, that's good. And you're going to stay in that area, aren't you? You're not going to move out of there.
Oh, no. My wife's got a good, solid job, so
good.
We're here. I'm just trying to change careers now.
Well, you know what? Do what you like. Follow your passion, Mike.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do, George, and that's why I volunteered at the SPCA, so I get some working experience with dogs and cats and everything else, and
good for you.
I'm going to go that direction. But anyway, I had a more serious note that I wanted to talk to you about is someone very, very close to me, and I'd rather not mention who it is for their security, is being attacked by demons. And it's a classic example, being pinned to the bed, waking up with a demon in their face, sitting up in bed, staring across the room, wide-eyed, someone else witnessed, and trying to get their attention and couldn't. And I just wanted to see who in your great store of guests would be one of the better ones to try and contact to help out with this. I mean, I've been given the information I've always heard, you know, invoke Jesus Christ's name, that sort of thing. I'm strongly religious.
Sometimes I think you need help rather than trying to do this yourself.
Exactly, why I know you will at times, maybe steer people in the right direction to some of your previous guests. I mean, just Googling demons on the internet is not going to do it.
You might want to start with Marianne Winkowski, okay? Winkowski. Just put her name up there in the search section at coasttocoastam.com and track her down. She'll talk with you, and she will be very helpful. She might. Does this person live in your neck of the woods?
Yes.
All right, she might be able to find someone who lives out that way, which would make it easier for you.
Okay, great.
Marianne Winkowski.
Okay, well, hey, it's great talking to you. I tried to get through on Christmas Eve, but this is the first time in 4 years I didn't get a chance to talk to you for Christmas Eve.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, I did. Wonderful. In fact, I got a. You remember our friend Judy that you met at the UFO?
Yeah.
With Dan. It's her birthday today.
Well, happy birthday.
Well,
Judy.
Actually, yesterday.
Oh, that's
now
right.
And mine's next Friday.
Michael.
She's actually a week older than I am, and I just wanted to give a shout out. And she gave me a CC Crane Witness Radio for my birthday. So I'll be recording this tonight. I can go home and listen to it later.
Go for it. All right, Mike. You take care up there in the Bay Area. Hard to believe, by the way, that January is almost over. About a week more to go, and that'll be it. Plus, truly unbelievable. I mean, slow down. But it's not. It just keeps moving along. Let's go to Seekonk, Massachusetts, east of the Rockies. Hello, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Uh-huh.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I have a story about the Bridgewater Triangle. I'm sure you've heard about it, Christopher Bellizzano.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what's the story for you?
Well, me and my older brother, we've been going there we did about 20 trips at nighttime there, and we have a bunch of evidence. The Thunderbirds, actually, I think it does exist because we were on our way to a certain location there, and something stopped us cold in our tracks, and the screeching sound was nothing I've ever heard in my life. There's no bird at night, it was around 11 or 12 at night, that could sound like that close, and then it took off within 2 seconds, and we can hear it scream down the power lines. Now, there's a huge power lines that runs down where we camp out at night, and that's where we heard the screaming. And we also had video set up of little pebbles twirling around the front of the video camera. As he was going, my brother was going to go pick up the camera. The rocks were still like twirling around. Little pebbles were twirling around in front of the camcorder, and I heard growls there. I mean, animal growls, whispering. We spotted UFOs in the sky. I have a little.
Well, to people who don't know about the Bridgewater Triangle, it's in an area about 200 square miles within Massachusetts. And this has been going on since colonial times. People have been seeing UFOs, black helicopter sightings, Bigfoot, giant snakes, thunderbirds, as he just mentioned, cattle mutilations. It's a very bizarre situation there. And, you know, read up on it. It's worthy of further investigation. Very strange area indeed. Let's go to Rudy in Palm Springs, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Rudy. Go ahead.
George, how are you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Good, Rudy.
I had a question. Just your thoughts about the 2012 calendar. Has anybody ever thought about that maybe at the end of the calendar cycle, just going to start over again, just like we do, going from December to January? Has anybody ever thought about that?
No,
heard any of that.
That's not come up a lot. A lot of people simply say it ended, it stopped, or, you know, the guy was done.
Exactly.
Doing it, but I think there's something else to it. They were experts in astronomy. They knew the celestial events. I think it's tied into that somehow.
So as far as it starting over, you think it's not going to start over?
No.
So something's going to happen.
I think so. A lot of people don't. Giorgio Tsoukalos doesn't think anything's going to happen. George Norrie thinks it's going to be something related to the sun. And we'll find out. It's going to be a Friday night, and it's next year. Can you believe that? That's coming up pretty darn fast, too. Hey, if you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com, george@coasttocoastam.com. When I come back in just a moment, we'll continue with more of your open line phone calls. I'll also tell you about the week ahead. A great set of guests for you all week long. And don't forget, we've got Ian Punnett for you on Saturday night on Coast to Coast AM. And we've got George Knapp on Sunday. And I'll be back again in just a moment with your calls. A great week ahead, of course. Ian Punnett on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday. Then on Monday, my guest will be Gary McDonald as we talk about everything you need to know to get to heaven. Get ready for that. Jonathan Gray joins us, Dead Men's Science and Secrets. He is an incredible archaeologist from the way down under. We're going to be talking with him, Sir Charles Schultz, on our Wednesday program. One of his works, A Fossil Hunter's Guide to Mars. Thursday, it's Linda Moulton Howe's special series of reports, including these dead animals that are appearing all around the country. We'll be taking Friday off. Rob Simone sits in for me, and he'll be doing some open lines and a guest or two for you as well. When I come back in just a moment, more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, to the phones. Let's go to Cody, truck driving in Indiana. Let him get us started here. Go ahead, Cody. Thanks for calling. There
How's
he
going,
is.
George?
You got
Hi,
it.
George. Have you ever read Frank Edwards' book from the 60s?
Sure did.
Strange World.
Yeah, I loved his work.
The first 10 or 12 pages are just amazing, and there's a couple of descriptions of ETs in there that I'd never heard on Coast. And one guy in Venezuela must see one in the road, gets out of his car, and the door is apparently open. So he goes in, he sees three small creatures, and they have yellow eyes, and they seem to be dead. The one thing he noted about them that I've never heard on Coast is they had an odor, distinct odor, and they had bristly hairs on their skin.
Sounds like chupacabras almost, doesn't it?
I know, but he thought they were dead. He thought he was in the wrong place, so he better get back to his car. And you might remember the story, and and they weren't dead. The craft took off by the time it got to the car.
Yeah, Frank Edwards was an old-time reporter, and he used to devote a lot of his time to UFO stories. Great stories, by the way, and he was darn serious about what he did.
Right. Our local legend is on page 191. You probably read that, too.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but I did read the book.
Right.
A long time ago.
A sixth grade boy wrote on the sidewalk, "Remember Pearl Harbor."
Yeah.
And it was found December 7th, 1939.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great things like that. Charles Fort had a lot of those kinds of great stories, too. Hey, thanks for the call. Drive safely. Text in. We've got Tommy over there in the studio. Tom, what do we have?
George, you remember when you were growing up?
Of course.
Okay. Well, Marta.
I'm still growing up.
Well, Marta from South Carolina, she texts and she wants to know if you have a favorite memory from childhood.
Oh, gosh. I have many, many. One of them, of course, I talked about a few Christmases ago when, you know, we wanted bicycles for Christmas. And we woke up, my sister and I at the time, we've got two sisters, but the other one wasn't born yet. And we woke up and we went scurrying to the living room. And it must have been 3 o'clock in the morning, Tom. No bicycles. And all the presents were out there, no bicycles. My folks, you know, we assume we're sleeping. We look outside. It's a mini blizzard in Detroit. And there, my mom and my dad pushing two bicycles to our house from the neighbors where they had it hidden away in their garage. And I'll never forget that. I mean, it was unbelievable just seeing what they had done to try to keep Christmas happy for us. I'll never forget that. There was another time when I was a little kid in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. I was asleep, and my grandfather owned a series of apartments, huge apartments, over his furniture store. And we woke up to masked, weird alien-looking people looking at us. They were firemen. The place was on fire, and they saved our life. I remember those two stories a lot. And then there was another one where my dad took me to a movie. He loved taking me to these sci-fi movies, the Mysterians and things like that, movies you don't even remember. You weren't even born yet.
Probably
and
not.
It was kind of a snowy, icy day, and I'm sitting in the passenger side. He's driving, and he tells me, you know, I must have been 9 years old, and he says, "Anybody behind us?" And I figured he meant driving down the street, right? So, you know, I kind of like rolled my window down, and I went, "No, Dad, nobody back there." And he backs up and goes, boom. he hits the car that was parked behind us, and he just gives me this look like, "What are you doing?"
You were talking about bicycles. Did you guys in Detroit, did you have flexies?
What are flexies?
They were these little things you sat on your stomach and you had two handles and you rolled down the street. They're little wood things. Guess not. Guess you don't remember.
No, we didn't have those, Tom. Well, did you ever bicycle?
I did have a bicycle.
Did you ever put baseball cards on the spokes and you'd stick them there with clothespins and they'd make this flutter sound when you were spinning your tires away?
No, I bought baseball cards because I wanted bubble gum, and I threw all the cards in a drawer, and today I have a huge collection. I
wonder what they're worth.
Probably a lot.
You should get them appraised.
I should. Well, I do know that I have three rookie cards, Roger Staubach rookie cards, that I think are worth something.
How much do you think? I'll give you a couple bucks apiece for them.
There you go, Marta. Thanks, George.
Yep. Next up, let's go to South Hadley, Massachusetts. First-time caller. It's Peter. Hey, Pete. Good morning.
Oh, it's actually, hey, George, how you doing? Long time listener, first time caller. I'm actually Keith, by the way, just
Keith.
So you know.
Okay.
Keith. Oh, it's great talking to you. I just want to say, first off, that your show is amazing, and I'm only 26 years old. I've been listening to your show for like 6 years. My whole family does, and you really are a great mediator, especially taking over for Art Bell and coming in and, you know, mediating this great information, helping raising the consciousness for people.
And
really
I have a feeling, Keith, we've got more roads to go down, too. This is going to be an incredible ride.
Exactly. And that brings me to my next piece that you're a part of here is the Ancient Aliens. I just want to say I love that show. I've never really heard that whole aspect, that point of view, you know, that you know, mainstream science seems to ignore. The part that stands out to me the most is, you know, the molding of the stone to make these amazing pyramids and different structures, supposedly, that are just made by, you know, primitive tools. And I have a little theory about that, actually, that I wanted to share with you. Basically, my theory on the show, or on that aspect of it, is that I feel almost like these past civilizations were more advanced in a way than us.
Sure.
And we're looking at it in a sense where, you know, wow, well, they lived in the woods and they had these primitive tools and this and that. But if you figure, if they had an advanced technology such as being able to mold stone and actually use and manipulate all the elements, if you will, then, I mean, I don't see why they would have a need, as we did, because we couldn't do such things, to basically, you know, create our own technology to do the things that maybe the ancients could do as well. You know what I mean? And I feel like maybe for some reason or another that this technology, as for us as a people, as our race in this point in time, that maybe, you know, the technology was purposely taken away, so we had to rely on ourselves to maybe get to a point or maybe prolong our life in general. Because as you look, a lot of these temples and such have been abandoned, as we have noticed. I mean, you have mentioned it many times, and, you know, you see this where they kind of seem to abandon their civilization. And possibly, maybe when we get to that point of our, you know, peak of our civilization, mm-hmm. then maybe they come back down. Maybe the aliens or whatnot, or maybe this new technology is somewhat sound. You know what I mean?
It could be. I do disagree with Giorgio on one respect, and that is I don't think mm-hmm. every alien civilization is a good one. You know, I think they could be up to mm-hmm. things. You know, if the abduction phenomenon is real, they're violating people. You know what? They're
exactly.
They're probing
such a vast universe. Such a vast universe that to think there's just one being is just, I mean, I'm going to school at the moment for different natural sciences, and I've learned some about space and just, you know, just the basics of it. It's just, it's unreal. And really, this is an eye opener. And I love the new show. I'm glad you're a part of it. Love Coast to Coast AM. I'm a huge fan, and I'm stoked for a third season. Definitely. I'm kind of upset that, you know, it only went two seasons, but I love your show here, and I just wanted to float that idea by you. I got plenty more. Maybe I'll have to make a call in. I'm very excited you took my call today.
Great.
So.
Thanks, Keith.
Thanks a lot, George. Take care.
Okay. Be well. By the way, talking about television shows, some of you used to remember Happy Days, The Fonz, Henry Winkler. He's got a company, and he wants to produce a television program around the theme of Coast to Coast, Your Stories. And we've got hundreds of these stories now, and Tom's going through them. He's going to get them over to them. Some of you may be in the pilot, and it may end up being a TV show. So let's see what happens there. But with the Ancient Aliens, of all the TV programs I've done in my career, that series gave me the biggest recognition on television of anything I've ever done. It is absolutely staggering how many people have watched that. I was in a restaurant yesterday, and a guy walked up to the table, and he said, "Excuse me," and said, "You're the Ancient Alien guy." Well, I'm not the only Ancient Alien guy. There's lots of them on there, including Giorgio, of course, but people remember that show. They really do. Let's go next to Mike in Baja, California. Mike, take it away. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, George, it's great to talk to you. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
I love your show, and I love speaking to you. It's the third time I've had the opportunity to speak with you, and it's quite an honor.
That's great luck to be able to do that, to get through.
I have good intuition.
Yeah, you know when to do it.
Yep. And I click with the show with all the subjects, and I've learned quite a bit from you. And I mean, it just meshes well. I've listened since Art Bell's day. So
you go way back.
Way back in the 90s, I ran into him. I was working at night, and I heard him on the radio, and I just fell in love with the topics. But the gravitomagnetism caller
yes.
you had?
Yeah.
Okay, George, I live down here in Baja. I email you guys. I send you little stuff, you know, political stuff during the election, blah, blah, blah. But is since November we've been having UFO sightings here. And I am a UFO buff here. Nobody knew it, but my neighbors are all seeing this UFO.
What's it look like? This triangular shaped thing?
Okay. I got so excited. I tracked the thing. I left Baja and drove this to San Diego County where my mother is. She's in hospice. And I got to see the thing travel and change. But, okay, the first I heard about it was around December 12th. And my neighbor walked out of her house to walk her dog. She looked up and she saw a clear object. She said it kind of looked like a derby hat. And in the center of it was a triangular array of lights, red, green, and clear. And they were moving. And she was like, what the heck is that? So she walks into the house, get her husband. They come out. Now the thing's gone. But they both see it. It's leaving the area. She felt as if it was watching her. Okay. She told me about this. I wanted to see this thing. Well, I talked to the security guards who were in the community where I live. Everybody's been seeing this thing. Sunday, my neighbor comes over and says, Mike, I saw it Friday, and it was rotating and stuff.
She goes,
I walked out on my deck about 10 p.m. I looked towards the south, towards a place called Popotla, where the fishermen are, and I thought it was Christmas lights. He said it was red, blue, green, and white.
Is it huge, Michael?
Well, they say it's big, but I interviewed them, and it was like they thought I was being like a police officer. Their observation skills aren't as honed in as mine.
Pointed as yours, yeah.
Yes. So I got really vague descriptions.
Do you think it's ours or?
I think it's ours. My intuition. I followed it, George. I watched it for 35 minutes on Saturday night. And I wasn't sure if I was seeing what my neighbor had described to me. It was like wishful thinking. He came over the next day banging on my door. Mike, it's back. It's back.
Well, let me tell you what we've been seeing, too. Back in the 90s in Millstadt, Illinois, which is across the Mississippi near St. Louis, a number of police officers witnessed exactly what you saw. And that object has been going around the country. I don't know how many of them there are now. But I'm convinced it's out there, and I'm beginning to become more convinced that it's ours. I've got some sources that have said it is ours. But it's a great story, and we're going to follow up. Mike, we're ready to hit UFO Phil, but you keep in touch with us. Send me some more emails on what you've been doing in your investigation. We'll be back with UFO Phil right now.
I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. See the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.